The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, I'm Senga, and welcome to Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage, and where we talk heritage happenings here in the South. And in this episode, I'm flying solo, and I'm looking backwards and forwards, because here we are, almost at the end of September, and doesn't it feel like we're hurtling towards the end of 2025? I don't want to really want to say it out loud, but yes, the silly season is just around the corner, and it's going to be here before we know it. So I've been looking back and reflecting on the episodes for Heritage South so far this year. I've been thinking about the range of topics we've covered and all of the amazing people I've been lucky enough to chat with on the show. We kicked off 2025 with Pierce, the chairperson for the Troopers Memorial Charitable Trust. He came along and told us all about their exciting plans for the D Street Hospital buildings that they purchased last year. And we also touched on their two completed projects. One of those, of course, is Yule House, which the Trust purchased at the end of 2001, and with the help and support of the community, restored it to its former splendour over several years. They had a big official public opening for it in June of 2006, which coincided with Invercargill's sesquicentennial, 150 years of the town of Invercargill. We were mentioning it during that episode because the Trust was actually going to be selling it so they could put the funds towards the current project. But we really didn't touch much on the history of this significant property. So Yule House is believed to be the oldest registered wooden building in Invercargill, dating back to around 1867. It was originally located on the corner of 4th and Doon Streets. Doon Street, that part of Doon Street, was later to become Ness Street. The Yule family owned the property for over 30 years until they sold it in 1904, and it was bought by the board of the Southland Boys and Southland Girls High School. The house was actually moved a short distance to its current location at 11 Ness Street in 1932, but not before Southland Girls High School had built their new school on this block of land, which happened in 1907. They then, of course, moved to their current site in 1948, and the beautiful building that they were using as their school became the offices for the Southland Education Board until it was demolished in the late 1980s. The current history of Yule House begins almost 50 years later. So in 1982, it was registered as a Category 2 heritage-listed building due to its historical significance to the city. Of course, it was one of the first substantial homes to be built in those first decades of the town of Invercargill, and it's also thought that it was one of the first to be architecturally designed. By the 1980s, there'd been a number of owners, but at that time it was owned by Ivy Milburn. And when she died in 1983, she left the property to her sister, who in turn left it to her daughter. And when daughter Jane died in 1999, it was left unoccupied. It was boarded up and it became derelict, with shutters over the windows and doors were barricaded to stop any intruders. In a 2004 article by the Historic Places Trust, it was described as being in a dilapidated state, and how Maureen Fox, who was then the chairperson of the Southland branch of the Historic Places Trust and a founding member of Troopers, began investigating ways that maybe the house could be saved. So it was that when it came up for auction in November of 2001, it came into the hands of Troopers, and they literally rolled up their sleeves and got stuck in. They had to clear the land. They took away some of the old lean-tos that had been built that just weren't structurally sound, and they really got on with it. By the official reopening in June of 2006, the sesquicentennial year for the city, the caterpillar had been turned into a butterfly and the transformation of Yule House was complete. And why was it called Yule House? Well, it was called after the Yule family. Robert Duncan Yule, a pioneer settler and businessman, arrived in New Zealand from Peterhead in Scotland in 1860. He made his home here in Invercargill, and in 1863 he married Anne Sarah Rout. And over the next 19 years, they added six children to their family, three of each. So they had three sons and three daughters. And if you grew up in Invercargill, you may recognise the surname in connection with the murder house, as all three of Robert's sons became dentists or dental surgeons. One went to Melbourne, one to Hamilton, but the third son and youngest child, Garnet, stayed in Invercargill and he built up his dental practice here. Robert, though, was in a different business. He established a drapery business called R.D. Yule & Co. in Tay Street in 1866. And his was one of those early businesses affected by fire here in the town, not just once, not just twice, but on at least three occasions. It really seems that Invercargill earned the sobriquet the City of Blazes. The first fire in the Tay Street store took place in about 1871. Then in April of 1884, there was an even more serious fire. Just a week later, Robert was trapped with almost fatal consequences in a fire at the Pottle Cow Hotel as he attempted to salvage some goods. This series of fires was the catalyst to extended ill house for him, and he sold the business to Daniel Haynes later that year. Interestingly, Daniel was the one who went on to open Herbert Haynes & Co. on the site the following year, and he operated a very successful business there for decades until it became DIC in 1959. And of course, DIC, a very iconic department store here in Invercargill, was called that because it was the Drapery and General Importing Company of New Zealand. Robert went on to open a Yule Drapers in Bluff, though at that time it was known as Campbelltown. It wasn't officially known as Bluff until 1917, and the family lived there for several years. He also opened a branch in Matilda, which ironically was also destroyed by fire in 1896. He finally retired in 1909 and they returned to Invercargill, where he lived until his death in 1927 at the age of 85. So if this makes you think you fancy owning your own slice of Invercargill heritage, well, you're in luck because you are spoilt for choice. You can still own Yule House, but if you need more space than three bedrooms and two bathrooms, then you might consider the other significant heritage listing for sale in Invercargill at the moment. This one has eight bedrooms and three living areas and has a heritage garden to boot. Of course, I'm referring to Lennell, the retirement home of John Turnbull Thompson, Surveyor General of New Zealand, and the man we have to thank for the layout of early Invercargill. When Turnbull Thompson retired, it was to Invercargill that he returned, and he set about building a magnificent retirement home for his wife Jane and their nine daughters. It was completed in 1882, but sadly it was not to be a long retirement for Turnbull Thompson, as he died in 1984 at the age of 63. So that was the beginning of Heritage South this year. And then I was lucky enough to have Eloise Wallace, the director of Te Anua Museum of Southland, join us to update us about the museum project. I know that I'm not the only person with an interest in our Southland history and heritage that will be watching this project grow and develop. And we've been looking at it doing just that over the course of this year. I've been lucky enough to be part of a tour for museum staff in June, where we saw the footprint of the museum taking shape. And now, just last week, the new website for Te Anua has been launched. This allows us to really stay connected with the project as that physical building continues. And you'll even find a live construction camera on the site so you can follow the project in real time. In April, I spoke with some of the team from Heritage New Zealand. Chief Executive Andrew Coleman talked about what he loves about this role and his special affinity for the South. Dr. Susie Farmina came along and shared her expertise on restoring and maintaining heritage properties. All good, solid advice that is equally useful for anyone who owns any homes. And Sarah Gallagher and I talked about the Rārangi Korero, or the heritage list, which has over 600 listings, and we focused on one or two of her favourite listings in the South. In June, we began a new segment called Built Heritage Stories, where we shared some stories about our heritage buildings. I was joined by local historian and team leader of experience at Tainui, David Dudfield, to chat about the Grand Hotel and the Alexandra buildings. And there are more of those episodes to come. Our next one, in fact, is on Howell's Cottage, Whare Kohikohi in Riverton. We also have corresponding pages with more stories about each of these buildings on the Heritage South website. You can find that just by typing in heritagesouth.nz. In July and August, I followed up these episodes with a couple on our natural history and heritage of the land in Southland. In those episodes, Jesse Bythall, the Southland representative on the QE2 Trust, joined me, and we learnt about the heritage of our land and the trees and her passion for it. We had a great chat about the native Potocarp forest remnant in the south of Invercargill at Kew Bush. There are just so many stories to be told. And more recently, I was digging deep with social history curator Julia Bradshaw. She was talking about her work and some of the stories from her book about women in the goldfields. All of our older episodes are still available for you to listen to on Spotify if you have missed any of them, and you can find the link to the archives from our website, heritagesouth.nz. You just need to click on the podcast link and then select the archives button. Now, I said at the beginning that this was a backwards and forwards episode, so let's start by looking forwards. One of our most popular episodes on Heritage South to date is the conversation I had with Vicky Henry about the iconic department store H&J Smith, where she shared stories from the store. Vicky had a full house for her korero during Heritage Month, as did Dr. Sally Dobbs, who shared the stories of our pioneering nurses of Southland. We know there were many people who missed out on these events during Heritage Month, so we've invited these ladies to share their stories again at our special Encore Korero event being held this Sunday, the 28th of September at Hei Wakatūia. You've still got time to secure your seats and come along to this very special afternoon where you'll hear some great stories and enjoy a bit of afternoon tea. All you need to do is to contact us at contact@heritagesouth.nz. Did you know that it's 100 years since Anderson House was built? The Anderson House Trust have plans to celebrate this over Labour weekend, so watch out for details as they begin to publicise this event. But following on from that, on Sunday the 16th of November, there's a high tea with history at Anderson House, where I'm going to be sharing stories of the house, the wharepuni and the land they sit on, the history of the house and the family who gifted it to the people of Invercargill. So if you want to come along to that Senga Stories event, where the wonderful Mesh Catering are providing a sumptuous high tea, tickets are now available for that. You can find all the details on the Southland calendar or on the Mesh Catering's website, where you can also buy your tickets. For much of my time, I'm immersed in local history through walking tours, history stories, delivering my history detectives program for schools. And right now, I'm really looking forwards as I'm beginning the planning for Southland Heritage Month 2026. We had over 50 fantastic events and activities this year, with more people attending than ever before. So I'm really keen to hear from any individuals, groups or organisations who are considering providing or running an event or an activity for next March. You can get hold of me by emailing events@heritagesouth.nz. Or you might like to consider joining us at one of our heritage lunches, an informal monthly get together for those in the heritage community or connected to it. You could keep up with the happenings in our heritage community by following Heritage South on Facebook or signing up to our newsletter. You can do all of these things just by getting hold of us on email at contact@heritagesouth.nz. Thanks for joining me again at Heritage South. This show is available as a podcast from Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and of course on the Heritage South page at heritagesouth.nz. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform through the Access Media app or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.